You know, there's something really about when you get to share about God and his goodness. You know, you can go through anything in life, then all of a sudden when you make a shift and share about God's goodness and what he's doing, it just uplifts you. So I love sharing about what God is doing because it is literally like eating manna to my soul. So that's what I want to share with you today. And as I was listening to Pastor Dan, thank you so much, Susan, for letting me be here. This is the second time I'm here. I feel so blessed. To back up that scripture in Isaiah 58, how do we do that? I mean, we can like plan this big thing and get all excited and make our flesh feel real good and go, you know, feed a bunch of people, give them a track, and yay, I feel great today. And then we did Isaiah 58, but that's not really it. How do we get to that place? Well, it's very simple. It's the commandment that Jesus Christ gave us to love him with our whole heart, our whole soul, our mind, our body, everything about us, to be totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. And when we have surrendered and when we carry his love, we want to go out and reach the poor. We want to lift them up. We can't wait to go see them. We can't wait to step into that culture and change it. Poverty has become a culture in itself. And unless we go in it to understand it and know it, we're ineffective. And we can't really do that unless we have that love of Jesus Christ. You know, one scripture that really kind of stays with me a lot is in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of heavens, but he is doing the desire of my Father in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done mighty works in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's scary. Because a lot of us, myself included, until God did a work in me, that we're doing a whole lot of good stuff. We're praying for demons to be casting out. We want this to happen. We want that to happen. Why? So that we can say, wow, we have revival. There's someone that said this, fasting, be with a spiritual objective for spiritual acts, is absolutely vain and idle. We cannot expect God to move when we're not moving, when we're not loving someone who has such dire need. And we can't because we don't really love him. And so I love this scripture that says, check yourself. Because that night I'm like, God, did I miss it? Should I have done this? I don't want to miss a soul because I refused to give them what they needed and only gave them what I wanted to. And many of us do that. You know, and I when I walked in here and I saw all the scriptures, and there's just a beautiful piece here. This is a beautiful place. I mean, seriously, this is gorgeous. It should be packed. You know, the body of Christ should be packed. But it's not about going out and having them come here either. It's about reaching them where they are, loving on them, meeting their need, confronting their sin. You know, when people come to the basement and they have been there for a while and they're in sin and they say, you know, I need this, pray for me that. And the Lord says, address their sin. I'm going to address their sin. But you can't do that unless you've really reached down and got to where they're at and picked them up and befriend them and love them and feed them and clothe them and give them the gospel. I get weeping because in my mind, I see people as I share these things. I see people. And one couple weeks ago, you know, the Bible says to keep holy the Sabbath day, which means on the Sabbath day, we're to be in Christ. So if we're to be in Christ on the Sabbath day, what does that look like? What did Christ do on a Sabbath day? He was trying to tell the religious people, as he healed people on the Sabbath day, he was trying to tell them, I'm reaching out to them. This is my Sabbath. I'm bringing healing on a Sabbath. I'm going to feed and clothe and take care of on the Sabbath. But sometimes we get so mixed up that we think the Sabbath is for us to go to church, eat, and read the newspaper, watch TV, and rest our body. That's not the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is totally enmeshed in Jesus Christ, walking in his love. And the reason I share that, because the Sabbath to me has always been quiet my soul, make sure I'm taking care of my home, make sure I'm not doing any type of strenuous work that I wouldn't want to be doing because Jesus says not to work. So I focus on my family, you know, just those kinds of things I know would be pleasing to the Lord on the Sabbath. So I get this call, and there's this couple that really the night before had threatened my life. I mean, they were, quote unquote, if you're not used to being out there, you'd probably run. So as they were saying these things to me on the phone, and because I denied them, because I had checked in my spirit, I denied getting them shelter that night because something wasn't right, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, the language was off the top, and I'm like, okay, I think I better have my husband watch me Tuesday when I come to the basement. These things start running through my mind. And long story short, it happened to be a Sunday. We're supposed to rest. And on my heart, these couple were. I thought, you know what? Jesus kept himself so pure and so holy that he didn't have the hatred that many had towards Caesar when Caesar was condemning him. Instead, in the midst of being crucified, he stood before Caesar and shared who he was to give Caesar revelation. How much has God stood there and just waited for us to bring revelation to even the worst of the worst that we would call? And so as I thought that through, I called him, or I texted him. I said, in all the years, probably about 18 to 20 now, that I've been doing evangelism and I've been out, no one has literally said the words you have said and threatened me the way you've done. But God is calling me to reach out to you. So if you need help, I'm going to help you. So long story short, my husband and I went, and we met them, and got them a room. They were hungry. They'd been sleeping in the car. They had nothing. And the next day, I got a call from her. Thank you so very much. I had a doctor's appointment and all of that. Were they safe people? No, they were not safe because I happened to do a little search and found out some stuff. They weren't safe people. But you know what? God totally protected me, and we took care of them. And I am believing through those acts of God's love, they're going to come around. They're going to come around. Matter of fact, she sent me a text yesterday and said, hello, how are you? And this is a person that has a very intensive background. So am I going to continue to reach out? I sure am. Because God hung on that cross for the criminal. He hung on that cross for the rapist. He hung on that cross. There isn't no sin greater than any other sin. Rejecting, taking care of the poor, and having the compassion is sin against God. You know, it's actually sin against one another not to reach out, and it's a sin against God. Am I being a little bit too tough? No. Sometimes I can go on a roll. All right. So what we look at the Basement Outreach Ministry is feeding the poor means repentance. You know, we're going to talk about the sin. We're going to try to help you get out of this, but it's going to take probably more than one Tuesday night. It might take an adventure out into the neighborhood to go see them. We're going to be praying for them. And the last is our acts of charity. Our alms is with how the Bible, to be able to make sure that those who want help are getting what they need to get there. So check yourself. Are you truly in the love of Jesus Christ? I shared, I think it was a couple Mondays ago, Jesus saved a wretch like me. It's been 31 years when he pulled me out of a gutter and set me free. I cannot stop being excited about that. It has changed my life. I have a family. I went to, he's done so much, but not only that, through every trial, every fire, everything I've gone through, he's been with me. I've never been alone. You know, it's that zealous passion of what Jesus Christ did for us should be on you. And that's what people need to see. That's the light. You know, I believe what happened with that couple, that's the start of revival. If we see a couple like that come to know Christ, oh my. That's what happened to Paul. You know, at the end times, we're expected to go through persecution. You know, we should be, you know, expecting that. And I think sometimes my husband goes into denial when I go out, but he always makes sure to find out what happens when I come home. But I always say, you know what, if I got hurt or shot or whatever, so what? I'm called to go out there and reach them. I've been in drug houses where they've had guns. Matter of fact, I ministered to someone. They were doing a deal, and I came in there and turned around. It had a big gun on them. And what did I have? I had my cheeseburgers. And I asked him if he'd like a cheeseburger, and he said, what? And long story short, end up ministering to this man. And about a week later, he got shot a few places. And I got a call to go to see him. And had ministered to him quite some time after he survived. And I don't see him in Warren anymore. And I know, I'm just wondering if he had left because he needed to go. But he heard the gospel. He was well taken care of. And so those types of things thrill me because I believe that God is going to cause that to rise up and that man is going to come to know Christ. And then one more people I'm going to share. There's a whole bunch of them. Eric and Amy. Eric served lots of time in prison. Amy was totally into drugs, lost her kids and all of that. Just very destitute people. Started coming to the basement and they actually met each other at the basement and I don't really go for it. But I watched it and I said, oh no, here we go. Something's going to happen. And so I just pray for them. And I saw this relationship starting to happen. And it was funny because they were listening to what I had no idea we were sharing and applying it to their life. Amy has come to know Christ. Eric still, you know, he's coming. But Eric, by profession, is a professional painter and got himself into trouble. So Eric has been one of the key people painting at God's Refuge House, and he is excellent. I mean, he's like one of the best painters around. He's done a phenomenal job. Hours upon hours of labor he has given to the home to paint. And long story short, I got a call on Saturday, and they want to live right, and they love one another, and they want to get married. Because they don't want to do anything outside. They probably already have, but I'm just saying. But they want to live right. So I'll be doing a wedding in September. That's not the first one. This has happened a few times. And then a few times, people that are impoverished don't have money to have funerals. So I get calls to do funerals too. We don't charge anything. We do the best we can to take care of, which is another thing. We have deaths constantly from the heroin. Like, I can't even pick up the paper anymore. Every time I pick up the paper, someone I knew that came in the basement or someone, it's just horrific. There is no answer except Jesus Christ. None. It's not going to happen. And that's why I believe God's Refuge House has come about, because we have the answer. So, am I running out of time? Okay. All right, so let me share just a little bit about the basement. The reason the basement exists is because we went out. That's it. That's the bottom line. There's nothing else except being obedient to Christ, spending time in prayer, seeking him for direction, and going out. And it's not always easy. You know, it's not, oh, I can't wait to go. No, sometimes we go because we're obedient to God's word and because we love him and there's someone in need. Sometimes my body, physical body, doesn't want to line up with what I know I need to do. But I do it anyway. And that's how we end up meeting people like Johnny who got shot and numerous other people. A couple weeks ago, ended up, a woman wanted to get out of her house in a drug house with the police standing alongside the house, went in, got, there's a guy in there and this lady, and she needs help getting out. I said, give me some garbage bags. I'm going in to help you. So I go in, pound up the garbage bags, going outside, giving it to the police. And I walk in, and the guy says, you need to get them out of here. And I'm like, no, no, she's going to leave. And that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. And so as they're going at it, I'm getting garbage bags and bagging up all her stuff. I was drenched with sweat. I don't know how much I took out, like literally, while the police. And then as I would go out there, the police would be. And then I'd go back in because we didn't want to cause anything else to happen. And so it started getting a little bit intense. And so then the next time I took a garbage bag out, I said, Bobby should come in now. And and they did. They came on in, and we got the woman out and got her into a residential home. Had I not been walking the streets and saw her sitting on the porch, I would have not been there. That's how that happened. It wasn't planned. It wasn't like she called me up and say, I need to get out. So she saw the demonstration of God's love. It was a drug house. We were there a couple weeks before, brought some food because people were hungry, and I realized this is a drug house. Did we share the gospel then? Just a tad. But God had prepared me to know where I was going and what I needed to do the next time I went. And it's just not me alone. There's like four of us. And I'll tell you what, if you're called to go out, and please let me know, because it is an area that's very lacking. And, you know, there's no fear. Honestly, I can tell you, there's no fear. I've met some of the sweetest people out there, families and children. Children without food are hungry, you know. So we always have Burger King or something on us. And we've had emergency calls where we'll go back to the basement, box up food to bring people food. I can tell you story after story, but let me share now. The Basement Outreach Ministry on Tuesday night, we go from about 150 to sometimes 225 people come in. It's called family. We call it a family. We're not in line getting food. We're not treating people like, you know. And we need to have places where, because it's so bad. I recently heard that people now use the pay loans not for frivolous things, but to get food. They're getting these loans now to get food and do making ends meet. The poverty statistics that are out there aren't even accurate because it's so much more. But why is this happening? Because we're not loving God with our whole heart, our whole body, and our whole soul. You know, to feed the poor, take care of the widow. And it's the truth. I'm pointing to, I'm not singling you out, but, and I honestly, I've been very blessed to go to some churches and be able to share the word and a lot of beautiful, beautiful churches. My only thought is, go out, repent, repent. Say, God, forgive me. I've not caught this. I'm not loving you like I should be loving you. I repent. God will change your heart. You know, I'm on my knees all the time because I know what a mess up I am. You know, I just know I am. Every day I mess up doing something or whatever. But I know that he's so forgiving and he loves me. And as long as I keep my eyes on him, keep my face to the ground in prayer and humility, God's going to keep moving. You know, so we need help. We always need help. You want me to specifically say the areas of help? Okay. One of the biggest areas is when we're filled up, I don't have anybody that wants to go and just sit with the people and get to know them. You know, it's amazing. I get a meal and I just like, Lord, where do you want me to sit today? And I'll go all around and I'll sit. I'll get a meal. Last Tuesday, it was a woman that had been raped and violated. Had I not made my way to sit there by her and hear her story and pray for her and give her hope, I don't think she would have got it that night. there's another woman that comes. She's always so depressed. And she's had it tough. She's not a drug addict. She's not any of it. She's a mom who has a husband that was a drug addict, that has been in and out of prison. And not only does she care for her own couple kids, she takes in these other kids. She comes with 5 or 6 kids. And sometimes she just needs some food. And her name is Brenda. Her husband got out of prison. And so he's been coming and praying for them and praying that God would touch his heart and deliver him. But I'm just loving on him and meeting their needs right now. You know, I told Brenda, I said, Brenda, one day you're going to have such joy. And it's coming. What are you so depressed for today? Are you eating? And or like the basement, everyone will eat and it's really good and stuff. And then it's time we have a little bit of worship and everybody starts talking. I'm like, hey, what's wrong with you? You just had some food. You're not going to give God a couple minutes. Come on now. And they all like, but it's so good. It's just like being who we are to people who are like us, if they don't have money and they're poor, you know. How many of us in here are poor, though? I mean, I've walked through a time, my husband and I, we've struggled, you know. But think of living in that for decades and growing up in it and not having anything. That's tough. Okay, so another area we need help in is at 4:30. People, just to help come set up. If you just want to help come set up for an hour, that would be great. 5:30, a truck comes in. This church brings us lots of produce and things, sorting food, bagging food at 5:30 to 6:30. That would be awesome. On Thursday, if you don't work or you work afternoon turn, we have a truck that comes in anytime between the hours of 8 and like 1 or 2. We get the time a couple days ahead to help unload the truck. Food distribution. We get calls, people need food and they can't make it to the basement. We do it one time for a family. We have to set some limits unless it's a crisis and they're going to need some ongoing help. I'm going to tell you, that is such an open door to meet people. I've gone into some homes that were, wow, it really needed food and a whole lot more. You know, the homeless, there are people that are homeless that don't want to be homeless. There are women out there they call prostituting that don't want to be doing that. They just have no way of escape. There are women that are now off the street because we've been consistent in working with them. A couple of them, we got them out of the city. There's one actually living in this area now, not doing the same stuff anymore, and she's been doing it for years. You know, or it may be the basement starting something with someone and maybe another church picking up where we leave off to help restore the woman. There's so much that can be done. And so because the addiction is so great, I've always had on my heart to have a place of residential. So we are opening up a residential home, hopefully soon. And it is total faith-based, Jesus Christ. We have phenomenal teachers coming in to teach. Anybody that's interested in helping any woman, please let me know. And because we can use a lot of mentoring, a couple more teachers, mentoring especially. Women need to be loved. You know, when I came in, I had such shame and such guilt and condemnation. I mean, I went into such a depression when I really came to and realized everything I had done. A lot of you know I'm recovering, so that's what. If it weren't for the body of Christ and even people in AA, I wouldn't have made it. You got to have people surrounding you and help. These women are going to need us to help them. So, last little testimony, then we'll be done. Anything else you want me to share? No? Okay. There was this gentleman that came into the basement. He was in bad shape. Like, he was elderly, and he was just could hardly walk and looked like he hadn't bathed in a long time, physically hurting. To find out that someone broke in his home and took a crowbar and beat him, he had no idea how to get to the hospital, how to get, and he medicated. He had no idea how to do anything. And long story short, we just started linking up services for him, getting the help he needed, went into his home, fixed the area that someone broke into, just piece by piece helping this gentleman. He comes to the basement now just smiling ear to ear. I mean, he just loves coming in and sitting there and just, you know. And so that's what we do. we do. So these are the things about Isaiah that struck me. Self-examine yourself. Are you living in complete honesty in how you love the Lord with your whole heart, body, and soul? And that song was beautiful, to clean yourself. And God will give you the courage to do the things that you think you cannot do. Thank you for listening.